TBRI.
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 TOVD.
TBRI.
TBRI. Trust-based relational intervention.
TBRI is an attachment-based
trauma-informed intervention
that is designed to meet the complex needs
of vulnerable children.
TBRI uses empowering principles
to address physical needs,
connecting principles for attachment needs,
and correcting principles to disarm fear-based behaviors.
While TBRI is based on years of attachment, sensory processing, and neuroscience research,
the heartbeat of TBRI is connection.
Hello, and welcome back to the TBRI podcast. You're listening to Season 7, Episode 8. On this show, we talk all about trust-based relational intervention, or TBRI. We talk about different elements of the model itself, and also about how TBRI is applied in various systems of care and practice. I'm Emily Pickett, producer of the podcast, and today we're chatting with Jeff and Mary Margaret Maurer of Restoration Rome in Rome, Georgia. Restoration Rome is a hub of foster, adoption, and family services and a ministry initiative of Global Impact International, Incorporated. They bring public, private, and faith-based partners together to strengthen and restore children and families in Christ's name through collaboration, education, accessible resources, improved communication, and innovative and comprehensive service provision. Restoration Rome's co-founders, Jeff and Mary Margaret Maurer, sat down with us to talk all about their work in Northwest Georgia and how families are truly being restored through trauma-wise care and trust-based relationships. This conversation is going to stay with me for a long time. There is so much goodness in this next 30 or so minutes. Friends, this is our last episode of Season 7, but we will be back in just a few short weeks with more conversations with folks who are helping us move forward in our mission to bring hope and healing to children around the world. Thank you so much for listening, and please enjoy this conversation with our friends, Jeff and Mary Margaret Maurer.
Jeff and Mary Margaret, welcome to the podcast. We are so delighted that you're with us today. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you for
having us. Doing great. Yeah, glad to be with you.
Thank you. Okay, Jeff, I'm going to start with you. So would you introduce yourselves? I think you can introduce for both of you and kind of share with us, how did you guys learn about TBRI? What was your entry point? What did that look like?
Absolutely. So Jeff and Mary Margaret Maurer, we are co-founders of Restoration Rome. But prior to that, we were therapeutic foster parents. And that's really where we got introduced to TBRI. And I will say that trying to get our hours one year, Mary Margaret drugged me kicking and screaming to empower to connect. And for those foster parents out there, you know your annual trainings. And she told me I had two full days of it. So you know I was kicking and screaming. but I will tell you, winning that argument absolutely changed our lives. When we sat down in that church pew and started listening to Dr. Purvis, within the first 15 or 20 minutes, Mary Margaret had to pick my jaw up off the floor. Mm-hmm. And I told her, I said, this is what not every foster parent, this is what every caregiver needed. I told him that this is what my employees needed at the time. We had a business that had over 2,000 employees, and I said I wanted this for my employees. And so that really started this journey for us. And from that point on, we hosted Empowered to Connect, and hosted Empowered to Connect every year since then. That goes back probably over 10 years or so.
Wow.
And so here we are today.
Wow. That's quite an entry point.
I'll add, Sarah, that Jeff said, oh, this should be part of premarital counseling.
I did. And I'm still pushing for that resource. So if Darren and Meg and everybody else are listening, I think it would be great.
Well, you know what they're going to say? Go ahead and write that up and let us see
I,
it.
yeah,
I have
I'm
a
getting right
feeling.
on that.
Yeah, I have a feeling your plates are a little full for that, but
Yeah.
it is true. It is true. Oh man, I went kicking and screaming too, Jeff, by the way. I was not real excited. I wasn't even a foster parent. I was training foster parents, and they wanted to our clinical director was like, we got to train them. And I was like, no, they're already ready to go. So I kicked and screamed my way in on behalf of foster parents who thank God they got it. And I lost that fight. So it's good to know that both of us are better off for losing fights.
Yep.
Maybe we should quit fighting.
Yeah, right.
Oh man. Mary Margaret, I think that, many of our listeners have heard of Restoration Rome by this point, and you just said 10 years in, and or Jeff did. And but for those that aren't familiar with what Restoration Rome is, would you kind of share what it is and maybe some of the partnerships and programming that you guys have?
Absolutely. I'll tell you what it's not. It is not about restoring furniture.
Okay.
Which
Okay.
a lot of folks that's what they do, but it is about restoring homes.
There you go. There
So
you go.
yes, Restoration Rome is a hub for foster adoption and family services, so very much focused on keeping families together but also serving families who need some help in restoring a family. So we are repurposing an abandoned elementary school in Rome, Georgia, northwest area of Georgia, as that hub. So trying to develop kind of a very accessible one-stop shop where our families that need some services that would help them with family preservation or restoration can come to one place, have very accessible care and really good communication by the providers that are serving them. But also a one-stop shop for folks that want to get engaged in volunteering, serving as a foster parent, a mentor for teens, whatever it is.
Oh my goodness, man. It's just like, I just think everybody should go see Restoration Rome. I remember, I don't know if you'll remember this, but the first time that I saw it, I was taking my daughter on college tours, and at that point, I think maybe like y'all had like kind of framed out the cafeteria. It was really early days. So, and we walked around, and y'all were like talking about everything that had been done. And I was kind of looking around like, oh, okay. And then the last time I went back, it's like done. And in my mind, and there's office suites, and there's, so many activities happening with the Y and the home visiting and the whole entry point, which I think of as in the back of the building. I don't know, with all the caseworker and therapy. And I mean, I think you even have lice treatment and a dental and medical and all these services that really, in my mind, it looks like taking away shame for kids coming into care. I don't
That's
know.
yeah, that's very much our hope.
Right.
And so there's four phases to the
Okay.
effort. And so when we got in the building, I mean, we were all about coming around like that intervention side of things because we had in our state, our county was the worst in the whole state in terms of the number of children in care to the number of available homes for them. So, we were really focused on the foster crisis and how do we wrap around foster families, recruit them, support them, and again, care well for children coming into care so that we reduce trauma. So, that first phase of build out at Restoration Rome was what we call the Comprehensive Care Center. And it was that place for children when they come into care instead of going to the DFACS office with all the cubicles and a caseworker trying to keep up with four or five kids, maybe. We wanted a place where the children could come, get their immediate needs met, just child friendly, and again, focused on reducing their trauma and again meeting those immediate needs. If it was cleanup, we had a little Bath and Beyond space with bathing suits, as you say, lice treatment. If that was something that we wanted to address immediately, we could. The kids' cafe where you could get a meal,
Yeah.
and the resource closet where they could pick out an outfit that they liked, things like that.
All of it.
Medical check. On the puppy dog exam table.
I think about being a foster parent who has, I mean, you guys have done it, right? I was never a foster parent, but I worked in foster care and understand the expectations to take like the madness for in Texas, the first 5 days of having a placement, like, I don't know how they get it all done. You got to have the doctor in this amount of time and the school in this amount of time and this eval and that eval. And to have one place, like, not only is it a huge gift to the kids, but talk about taking away so many barriers for the families just in that entry point of kids coming into their homes. I mean, that's just incredible.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that was an important piece for us of supporting the foster families better, right? Yeah. Is, I mean, if we can take care of some of that, and even the courts, our juvenile court judge, he said, mm-hmm. look, if we can get that med check, then I know maybe the child has come into care and maybe there's bruising. I'll know where mm-hmm. it came from, mm-hmm. those kind of things that we can document early. So that was really important to, again, safety for kids and families.
That's so good.
And Sarah, the other kind of half of that comprehensive care center. So the one side is really for the intake services. Mm-hmm. And then the other is supervised visitation. So okay. that was the first request of our county director. So we were all about trying to meet the need mm-hmm. that was being expressed by DFACS, which is our Division for Family and Children in Georgia. Right. That's the acronym, yeah. DFCS. And so she had said, you know, most of the visits for kids were taking place in McDonald's playground and not a very safe and nurturing setting where people mm-hmm. could connect. That mm-hmm. was where I took my kids when I wanted a break from my kids.
Right, exactly, exactly. Now it's Chick-fil-A, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that, like, just the different rooms set up in that visitation area right down to the one that's like a kitchen where, you know, a bio family can sit down or they can prepare and have a meal together is just priceless. So that's like phase one and phase two, right? Jeff, what's phase three?
So phase two is the office space for the providers that are delivering the services. And so to kind of in a nutshell of what we're doing, like within the comprehensive care center, you know, this, what we call continuum of care, this whole spectrum of services. So whether you're the birth parent, the child, the caregiver, if that's foster parent, kinship placement, fictive kin, anything that you might need as far as service or resources is in there. And the providers, our model, the providers need to be on site. We work very collaboratively. That's how we work together. And so for that, we needed office space, obviously, to mm-hmm. be able to house all these different organizations or individuals, therapists, counselors. So phase two is what we call the Team One Center, the TOC, and that's the office space that houses all of them. And then phase three, if I can move along, is our wellness center. So in the wellness center, we have an FQHC, which is federally qualified health center there. So they work, for those of you all that don't know what an FQHC is, they work primarily with uninsured Medicaid and, you know, or have advanced reimbursements, you know, for those. You can provide care on a sliding scale for mm. folks or care for nothing if people can't afford it. So in that center, we do, you know, primary care and dental, behavioral health services, as well as social services, which are required by the FQHC. So, and then we also, with various relationships around town, we do have access to some physicians that with specialties that have agreed to volunteer time over there, and we'll see patients pro bono. So, anyway, so we just make sure From a prevention standpoint, we sit right in the middle of what KC Family Services have deemed as our community of hope, and which is where most of the at-risk situations in Floyd County are, and we have most of the reports of neglect and behavioral health issues, things like that. So we sit right in the middle of that, and so our goal when we started was to have that and wellness center there, and it was that was a response, as Mary Margaret said, we're always about meeting the need, and through various town hall meetings that we had through Community of Hope program, as well as a Choice Neighborhood program, this community needed access to medical care, dental care, and other things, and so that was part of meeting that need.
Well, it's really incredible. So tell me about what kind of partners office in the buildings, and is that a requirement of being a partner? Because I'm assuming they have offices elsewhere too, right?
Some of them. I mean, we have organizations that are regional, as well as national. But they still have offices there. Because they'll have offices around the state, or people around the state, and so. But we do have some local folks and individuals, and this is their primary office. And so, yeah, we've got over 20 different organizations, agencies, and individuals. Some of our counselors, obviously, are individuals in their practice, and they're here. So it's just kind of a variety.
Awesome. Mary Margaret, what kind of programming is like specific, like the Y's in there? You have groups, like what do you guys have going on kind of as part of the kind of weekly calendar in the building?
Absolutely. And Sarah, I would say, like, when you think about the programming, what we're really trying to build out, like that whole child approach, when we think about like TBRI being whole child, that whole person, holistic care. And so the providers in the building kind of represent some of those different areas of holistic care. So certainly for our younger set, when we got in the building, we were all about that phase one piece, and that building out the care center. But we had kids that were knocking at the door every day, and they were hungry, and they were looking for a safe place to be. And so that's when we called in our friends at the YMCA and said, hey, can you help us? And so within 2 weeks, they set, Restoration Rome up as a summer feeding site, and it ended up being the heaviest use site in the whole county for that summer. So 75 to 85 kids a day, just coming in for a couple hours, having a meal, interacting, playing with volunteers and Y staff, and so that was a huge blessing to us that we had that community partner that was willing to come in and serve. School year started, and the kids had no after school program, and so the Y responded to that need. So they have just continued to be a wonderful partner that just continues to ramp up their services. So they had the after school program going on. They do a teen boy program called the Thrive program, and it just is a wonderful program that's grown out of the relationships they had and developed with the children when they were in the younger after school program. So they offer that. They recognize the need that we kind of have a food desert in the area we serve in. And so doing backpack buddies for the kids to ensure that they had good nutrition on the weekends, and then responding with holiday programming when kids were out of school and didn't have that breakfast, lunch. So they just continue to respond to me. So they're one of our wonderful partners. Our local commission on children and youth are in the building. We have counseling services. We have mentoring programs for teens, for our 18 to 24 year old set, So Connections Homes, Pam Parrish's ministry, right? So they have an office in the building that serves kind of as a hub for the Northwest Georgia sector and financial empowerment, you know, so lots of trying to tackle all of those different issues that people need help with to be truly healthy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, when I was there, we were there for our practitioner training, y'all's practitioner training in September, and I had just the greatest privilege ever of getting to visit with some particular grandma and, you know, a bio mom that was there for home visiting. I got to visit with some of those teen boys and, you know, a couple of other of the youth. And you really can't talk about the impact of what's happening in that building adequately enough. I mean, it is, you know, I can remember, you know, a kiddo literally sleeping outside waiting for the doors to open because what's happening inside is felt safety, which is the opposite of what's happening in his world. And he knows where to go, right? Like, he's like, this is scary out here. I know, I will wait right here until they get here. And I just think you can't imagine. I mean, talking to that grandma, and she was just crying, talking about all of her experiences and the impact. So it's really incredible. We will absolutely link in the show notes to your website. You can see all the partners there and some of the activity going on. So really incredible.
Sarah, I think, you know, so often folks come through and they're like, okay, you know, where's the data? What are your outcomes? All of that.
Right.
And kind of, you know, just what you describe is what we want to say.
Right.
You know, and I think one of those pieces that really demonstrates that is, you know, the work with that Reba Huskins at Restoration Room, who is a TBRI practitioner. She does a lot of work with our birth families. Mm-hmm. And so there are parenting classes that are court mandated for families, but she builds relationships. And so the parents have said, hey, we're done with the court mandated thing, but we want to keep coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a parent support group that was birthed out of that need and that ask. And and the building of relationships that she did. And so that's, you know, some of that ongoing on when you ask about what happens in the week. Those parenting classes that are happening. I know you had Cindy visiting in the podcast, Cindy Lee, and the Making Sense of Your Worth classes are going on, and those parent support groups. So really continuing to build community and dive deep into helping people get healthy and secure attachment.
It's incredible. I mean, it really, I get to go to a lot of places, but there is something unique in that building. When you walk in, you can feel it. And I'm just going to share this story because I think it's worth it. I got to interview that little boy who wanted to rap for me. You know, we were using the podcast equipment and he thought that was super cool. And then the second day he came back and he asked if he could rap again. So we went back there and it was an exercise in regulation. I mean, his little body is just on fire. And, you know, one of the team members from the Y was with us and she was terrified of him messing up equipment. And, I mean, it was y'all's equipment, so I wasn't worried about it. No, I'm just kidding. but he said, Miss Sarah, can I, he like stops in mid sentence and he says, can I cuss? And I said, no, man, you can't cuss if we're going to record it. And he said, okay, don't record. And he just started dropping every word on the planet. And I thought, he did what I said. he knew, he followed the limit. And he said, we don't have to record it, but I got some words for you. I was like, oh, okay. Well, you're very literal. but it was just a great experience because, you know, he knew. He knew exactly how to navigate that situation. He didn't argue with me. He didn't beg to have the recording done with the cussing. He just said, I'll take that option, you know, and it was so clear to me, somebody's working with that kid on choices day in and day out all day long. And he needs them. I mean, his little body is on fire and it was just fun to see it in the moment. So you guys knew TBRI before you got the school, I'm assuming, because you were foster parents before.
Yes.
Okay, so that was already in place. So, Jeff, when y'all were starting off Restoration Rome, did you start it because of the school? Or were you already doing some of the support work and then the schools? How did, what was the sequence there?
Well, no, it wasn't because of the school. I think that it really, you trace the roots back to Mary Margaret and I as we made our journey as foster parents. And for me, coming out of the private sector and seeing how broken this system is. And the system, including our community, as Mary Margaret had said, we had the most kids in care and the fewest number of homes in Georgia by a huge margin. And we had obviously all of these issues that were driving that and all of those things. And so we really of course we love TBRI for ourselves, but we wanted other foster parents to hear it. But as we started feeling like we were being pulled toward advocacy and actually doing something to arrest this situation of the lack of information flow and collaborative working together and people in silos and all of those things, I think we really had this hub concept in our mind, and it was just it was it, but it, but the light the, I will say the light bulb did go on when the school became available that wow, can you imagine doing that? I mean, and then actually bringing all this together in one place. And so again, I think the roots of this really go all the way back to when we got our start in foster care, and it just come full circle when the school became available.
I mean, thank goodness God doesn't show us the middle of the journey when we're at the beginning, right? Can you imagine? Like, we want to be foster parents, and you could see that, like, you were going to have this whole school building feel so overwhelming. And by the same token, so you got that up and running, and now there's a statewide collaborative, TBRI collaborative. How did you, y'all made me tired. How did y'all make the jump to that next? Because that's not a little step. And what was that process like?
Well, I will tell you that our journey with TBRI, probably a lot like most folks, started, with, I mean, well, we just thought, we would do training, we'd do have some practitioners and do all that it is. But as we started really digging in and doing implementation, we saw a shift in our organization. We saw a shift in the organizations at Restoration Rome, to the point that Global Impact, which is the actual organization, Restoration Rome is an initiative. We say that TBRI is actually, we're faith-based, but TBRI is another pillar of and you'll see that in everything that we do. I mean, it becomes part of you. And so, but the impact that TBRI can have on everybody. I mean, we just felt so strongly that everybody needed to be speaking the same language. And so Mary Margaret really started that initiative here in Rome and Floyd County of bringing, the schools, the after-school programs. I mean, all of the providers in here. Medical community, the court, DFACs, all around the table, and really doing TBRI. I mean, starting to implement in their various organizations and agencies, and so and when that started to happen, you could see the impact of that. It was very clear that not just in Rome and Floyd County, I mean, the state of Georgia, every state in the country, every country needs to be speaking this language. And so we just felt like, I mean, as part of this that and again in collaboration with you all awesome people out there, we started this here in Georgia, It's almost been like trying to tame the wildfire.
It's amazing,
And
isn't it?
it is. Because people see it in action. We tell the story about Mary Margaret, the after school program. A little young man, got sent home for the day, and he's outside karate chopping the corrugated stick figures out in the lawn. And Mary
Oh.
Margaret went out there and through her TBRI training, I don't even think she had been practitioner trained yet, got him calmed down and did a no-no and took him back to the after school program, which he wasn't supposed to be able to
Uh-oh.
come back. Well, the YMCA folks, all of them showed up at our office door about 5 o'clock, and we thought we were in trouble. And they were all they could say was, what did you do to this young man? We've never been able to get him to sit down and just focus and all those things. And that started the YMCA. Our YMCA here in Roman Floyd County speak to the YMCA National.
Wow.
So again, I it's it, you see that. And so again, we just felt like trying to do this statewide multi-sector implementation is just it's going to be it's crucial to what we do.
Right. So you learned how to do it locally, right? And you kind of got it going that way. And then from there, you said, okay.
That's right.
Now that we've kind of got it figured out, because I think that's a step that a lot of people miss. I
Right.
think they say, I want to do a statewide collaborative, but you really do have to figure out all the kinks and figure out the relational piece and dollars and all of the things that come into it kind of locally. And I think it's important locally just because you got to have somebody that can pop over to somebody else's office when they're confused or they need support or they're frustrated or they need training or whatever.
Well, and that's part of what we're trying to get across in this is that TBRI and TBRI implementation it goes way beyond just the caregiver training. It truly is a cultural shift, and you have to be prepared for it. And it's a process. We refer to it as exploration, immersion, and then extension. And so, which is exactly what the process that we went through. Anyway, what you described, and it is a process. So anyway.
And it takes a lot of time. So where are we with the state collaborative? Because I know it's humming along. Mary Margaret, what's happening?
Absolutely. So, I'm going to go back, Sarah, just really quickly
Sure.
and say we're always working on this balance of structure, nurture, and
Me too.
they call me nurture, they call Jeff structure.
I get structure too, Jeff, just FYI.
pushing on that relationship side, for us with Restoration Rome, it was a community effort, right? And it was relationship driven. And I'm out there in my community among people that I love and care for, and I'm saying, I need you to step into this really hard arena to help serve alongside these, children and families, many of whom have experienced some trauma. I need them to be well equipped for their sake and the sake of those you're going to serve. And I could, we couldn't, with a good conscience, do that without offering the equipping they need. And TBRI is that. And so, for us, like that is what so pushes us to interject TBRI into all these sectors. So in the pediatrician's office, in the churches, in the schools, all these places that our children and families are. So anyway, so that was kind of that springboard to, that community focused, relationship driven, and that's what we want to maintain at the state level. So what we're really trying to do is empower folks within their communities to lead that effort, kind of based off some of the models we've used, because I can't know what the needs are of the people in South Georgia, like I do mm-hmm. in my community. So, but I can know a person down there, like who's right. really passionate about getting this out in the community. And so empowering them to take the lead, but then being that support that they can come back to and say, hey, you know, this is what I'm seeing. This, I need some coaching in this, or we need to get some more folks trained. And so I can help with that. And then when I can't help with it, then I can come to y'all and say, hey, tap right. into all these wonderful global resources. So it yeah. actually connects that individual maybe down in Brunswick, Georgia, with somebody in Ethiopia, mm-hmm. right? Because, you know, through that, by providing some structure where we have what we call our regional representatives who are kind of overseeing the big community picture, all the sectors, mm-hmm. They link up with us as the ambassador org in Georgia, and then we can link up with y'all, and that connects them around yep. the globe.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that's a piece, the two things that we're trying to develop are those regional reps in all of the defects regions in Georgia that again, have their eye on the whole community. And then we're developing sector leads. So it's, mm-hmm. you know, folks that are really doing that implementation work in the schools, in the courts, in the churches, in all of the sectors, in DFACS, CASA, whatever the mm-hmm. sector is. And so they can really pull the people along who are starting their TBRI journey in those sectors yeah, and provide yeah. that coaching and support. So that's kind of, that's the structure we're putting in place to support, you know, so we have structure and nurture.
Yeah. No, I think it's so important because one of our practice principles is humility and grit. And when you work at the pace that you guys work and you've got the connections you've got and the history of a whole lot of hard work going on, sometimes people get really possessive, right? And they kind of want to control how it goes. But I just think it's so brilliant when we're willing to say, like, I don't need to do that. Like, I cannot tell you, Brunswick, Georgia, what you need. I'm not familiar with your community. I'm not familiar with your resources, right? What we have in Floyd County might be different, but I can find the right person to do that. And mm-hmm. and they care in a different way about the very community that they live in. And it's just so important. It's so important to just empower people. And the load is, quite frankly, too big for any one of us to carry it, right? So, like, I just think your plan and the way that it's playing out is just really, really brilliant. I really commend you guys on kind of, I think Anna Palmer, when we chatted with her, said, you know, we're just going to hold loosely. Like, we're people might make mistakes, right. but that's okay. We're still a safe place to land. You know, it's kind of that, like the attachment cycle with you, you're kind of the hub of it and keeping it going.
Well, and, you know, that connection, if we can all stay connected, my goodness, we can be such a better steward, right, mm-hmm. of all of the resources, the time resources, material resources, mm-hmm. You know, like I'm doing a training for, you know, whatever sector, I can rely on somebody in that sector to help me. Mm-hmm. Maybe here's some handouts that were useful, that kind of thing. Right. So I'm not having to redevelop everything. So it really helps on that front.
Yeah, we just need those resources in every sector, right?
That's right.
That'd be helpful. We're going to get it, though. We're going to get it. Thinking through, I want to ask this question, both of Restoration Room and the Collaborative, and you guys can decide what you want to answer first. But any barriers or roadblocks or speed bumps that you've encountered along the way that you kind of figured out a fix for? Or even just barriers that you're still working on, but people should be aware that if they're going to try to do this work, they might run into.
Well, I'll start with the Restoration Realm front. Okay. And this is really a shout out to all of our providers and all of our partners, not just mm-hmm. here at Restoration Realm, but across this community. In that, you know, staying focused on meeting the need, understanding, mm-hmm. building the relationship, and meeting the need. And I want to give you an example of that. Well, you kind of heard that with the YMCA. It's that, you know, but with this particular, we have a lady here who does all of our financial counseling, And, you know, she's constantly digging in with these folks. She doesn't leave them. You know, it isn't some class and then good luck. She stays with them until they have, you know, built a strong financial foundation and that resiliency. Well, one of the things that she was running into was most of her folks were victims of predatory lending. And,
Oh, see, ways you don't even think about people being taken
This is,
advantage of.
that's right. And this is, what's what, Sarah, what you're referring to. It's one of many. Okay. But this, okay. So, you know, Kristen comes to us. We talked through it. You know, that led to a meeting with the bank president of one of our local banks. You know, of course, they have their own guidelines and restrictions. But we sat down and they worked through it with FDIC, where we had you know, a way of we had a donor, told them what the issue was. They basically collateralized the loans, but these folks go in and go through the whole process themselves. They get the note themselves. They set up checking accounts. Kristen's walking with them. They're doing all of this, and so they've now worked through that, and she is now getting all of her folks that which is basically all of them away from these predatory lenders, which they were, you know, and so it's a way of that's just again an example of our providers, you know, and it was a hurdle, okay, but it's but it's but nothing everything, you know, you can find a solution for everything if you've got the people that really want to dig in and work with these folks. And I will say again, foundationally, TBRI has been a key to that. I mean, in the building the relationship and working with these folks. And you know, in this in same person now, we have legal issues that we need pro bono work. We're working with the legal community here in Rome to set up a structured pro bono system where folks are vetted. And I mean, so when this happens and you're building these relationships and you're overcoming these hurdles together, you know, the fact of the matter is with the bank and with the attorneys, you know, the banks, but you know, under FDIC have to give back a certain amount to the community, and it's hard to find ways of doing that. This was a solution for them too.
Golly, it's incredible, right?
What we're finding out with the attorneys who want to do or need to do pro bono work, they would love to be working with somebody that is helping not just, I don't want to say vet people coming through, but working with people to help stabilize and that they know they're getting the supports and the resources, and you know, and they can truly work through whatever the issue is with them. And so it's not an exercise in vain. And so again, this may have been a much longer answer than you wanted, but for us, I can tell you walk in the door, the hurdles in this arena are going to be endless, but they can, you can work through them. And you have to work through them together. And so, and then the community can do that. And the thing is, the community, they really do want to help. And they want, but they don't maybe necessarily know how. And so we try to help show them how. It's like building what we call those on-ramps for folks. How do we build on-ramps so that you can engage?
You know, it's fascinating because one time I heard a guy speak and he said that the best solution we have to any problem we have is our Rolodex. And if we'll just start to use, which if that, okay, this was a few years ago. But that's our relationships, right? Like that's basically what we're saying is if we can sit around the table and say, like, when I think about a person that's fallen prey to predatory lending, my immediate solution, because I don't do math, but it's like, well, you just got to pay that down, right? Like I don't have the knowledge or skill set or, you know, I'm definitely just
not a financial whiz about FDIC, none of that, but somebody is. So, right, like that staying curious and figuring it out and just keep going and going and going until you find the attorney that's like, I need to do this pro bono work anyway. What you're doing makes me feel like I'm actually using my time to solve a problem, right? Like I can really help people. And it's just, it's really incredible because it just doesn't matter, you guys. I'm convinced it all comes back to relationships. So they've been harmed in relationships. Somebody took advantage of them within a financial system. And now we're going to come back into that system and find the relationships to help resolve the problem.
Well, that's right. And again, through a relationship, it's not just, you know, folks don't just have financial issues or don't have right. just behavioral health. They've got it all. Mm-hmm. And so building that relationship and you find out, you know, and then bring the resources around them, you know? Mm-hmm. So if folks are out there listening, well, that was just kind of a one-off thing. No, that was part of a very comprehensive plan for mm-hmm. these individuals. It just happened to be this example was the financial component, financial component to it. So anyway.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely, it's really incredible. I have goosebumps because you just don't, if you think about mental health issues and you think about behavioral issues, and then you think about poverty and you're in a food desert and all of these things, and people are taking advantage of people's finances and then they can't get stable housing, right? Like it all matters. And until we get people with some compassion to like see these people as precious as they are, then we can't get them the real help they need. But this impacts like such a bigger thing than just we've got somebody with bad credit, right? Like the impact on their life is beyond, because you're not just fixing the one financial piece. Like you said, Mary Margaret, you're looking at the whole person and the whole community, and that's why the changes. You guys have any favorite story you'd like to share?
I've got one about TBRI.
Okay.
I have been doing a Making Sense of Your Worth class with Reba. We've been doing it for men.
Oh, cool.
And I will tell you that in itself has been such an incredible journey for me. Mm-hmm. But in this meeting now, these folks, before they came in, they've been working with Reba in parenting classes, and they've had a lot of TBRI. These guys, you see, they're saying, and the people around them are saying their lives have changed. Mm-hmm. They have changed. They are actually, I had two of the guys that were in the local mall, and they were chasing down a couple of young parents to tell them about coming to Restoration Rome for TBRI class. Because obviously, I guess they thought that they needed TBRI with whatever was going on with the child. But I mean, can you imagine that?
That's
incredible. Here are a couple of birth dads that are so moved by what is happening in their own life through TBRI and resources like Making Sense of Your Worth, that they're literally shouting it from the rooftops.
It's incredible. It's incredible. Oh my goodness. That brought tears to my eyes. I'm just trying to imagine these two young men, I'm assuming young men, trekking through the mall. Like, hey, I have something that'll help with that. Right. Like it's absolutely incredible.
And Sarah, actually one of them is just going through parenting classes, is older than me.
Oh, come on.
Yep.
I don't know if I can handle all the goodness. It's too much. It's just too much sometimes. I mean, I just think it's just,
it's never too late.
It's never too late. It's never too late. Mary Margaret, you have a favorite story?
I do. I've got a couple, and I'm going to share them because folks can go and like hear the bigger story on our website, because two of these stories are highlighted in different videos. But just the impact of TBRI on one of the moms that lives in our community whose kids were in care. she was able to, I mean, she did the hard work to get them home, but they just had so many behaviors. She was trying to go to support meetings and things like that, and was banned because the kids' behaviors were so extreme that the childcare workers couldn't really care for them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she's trying to continue her journey for healing, and then, you know, now what do I do? And so it had gotten so bad. I mean, she was to the point of like, I may not be able to keep my kids. And she found out about some of the TBRI classes that we were having at Restoration Rome and came. And that was the answer for her. Like, she dug in. She actually became a practitioner. And, you know, she shares this, but she said, I mean, it made all the difference in keeping her family together. Hmm. And so that, you know, is, yeah.
One of my favorite stories. And you guys have these, literally, I mean, these lives, like rolling through that building all day long, right? I mean, mm-hmm. waiting for the doors to open, the whole thing. So it's just really incredible. And I really encourage people to check out your website and to really hear the details of this conversation, because it's really overwhelming. Thank you both for being on the podcast and for your work and your friendship. I just adore you guys. And I'm so thankful for this time with you.
We are so grateful that you had us on with you. We love talking with you anytime. And we would welcome visits to Restoration Rome.
Be careful. They're coming.
The TBRI podcast is produced by the Care and Purpose Institute of Child Development at TCU. To learn more about TBRI and the resources mentioned in this episode, please visit child.tcu.edu/podcast.